May be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, to Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Job answered and said, "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall tell thee, or teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations, and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations, and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I would remind you that if you were listening, if we were reading with understanding today, we have heard a few lines out of Psalm 107. Hopefully those resonated in you as you heard me read along there, that when we come to Job chapter 12, we're hearing some of the psalms there, or lines out of the Psalter there. Now again, we know not exactly when Job was written. We know that it was written of days that were before the Psalter was written. And so what this tells us is that these principles were on the minds and in the mouths of God's prophets from the beginning, right? He pours contempt upon princes. That's Psalm 107. And then also, he causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. Also Psalm 107. Well, we would expect that if the Spirit of God is the author. Rather than using that familiarity with Psalm 107 here from Job 12 and try to make Job a pseudepigraphic work, which unbelieving scholars do, let us train our minds to understand that when we read such things, it doesn't surprise us, because the Spirit of God is the author of every word of Scripture, right? Okay, so Job now begins his response to Zophar. Remember, Zophar had one chapter there, chapter 11. Job will begin his response, as we said last week. It's a three-chapter response. And structurally, it follows the same kind of response that we've already heard from Job. Job, at first, when he responds, will address his interlocutor, the people he's speaking with, and he will give his defense, and he will show them why they're wrong about him. Then he will speak broadly about the Lord, and then he will address the Lord particularly. That's the structure of Job, of all of Job's responses that we have seen thus far. Okay, so it's an interesting point to read through, and as you're reading through, to figure out where in Job's responses you are. And that'll keep you on track with your understanding as well. So Job begins then by turning away Zophar's accusation. Zophar has once again, like his friends, accused Job of being a wicked sinner, and that's why God is moving on him in that way. Job, if you just confess your sins, if you just cry out to the Lord, if you just come clean with whatever it is that you've done wrong, the Lord will draw back his hand of judgment on you. It's your own pride that's keeping you from doing that and prolonging your suffering. Just come clean, Job. Tell us what you've done, and everything will be fine. Of course, Job, for his part, has nothing. He hasn't done anything like that. There is no wickedness that he's done. All the things that they've already brought up, robbing the widow and sending the orphan away empty, those kinds of things. Job has not done that. Job says, no, I haven't done that. All right, well, now we see patience wearing thin between our conversationalists here, our interlocutor, as it were. Interlocutor, children, that's just a big word. It means people that are talking to one another. Interlocutors, right? And so what's going on here? Well, they're starting to get to what I call the you shut up part of Job. The you shut up. I'm tired of hearing you talk. You said too much already, and now you keep talking on. Notice what Job starts with here. Here's his lead in his response. Job answered and said, no doubt that ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Well, that's biting sarcasm. Biting sarcasm. But he can't let it rest there, right? Because his interlocutors might have just said, well, we're finally getting some traction here. That's not what happens, right? What happens? Notice, but I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? You have come to me, and he's gonna assault them in a couple of different ways. The first way is you've come to me thinking that I need some learning. Who doesn't know the things that you've already spoken? Everybody knows that. A little bit later on, he's going to tell them, go to the beasts, go to the birds, go to the fish, go to the earth. Everybody understands this, even the inanimate objects of the world. This is something that is, natural theology 101. Of course it is God that is striking me. I haven't disagreed with you in any of that. My question has been why? And I don't think Job is ready to admit it yet. And in my why, I may have gone too far. He's not quite ready to admit that yet. And then notice what he says. And I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The upright man is laughed to scorn. Verse 4. Job's characterizing himself. I am calling upon God. You're telling me I haven't. I'm telling you I haven't stopped. But you have come, and you're mocking me for calling upon God. But God is answering me. Now, Job may not understand the answer as yet. And then he'll talk about this sort of karmic understanding that his interlocutors have. Listen to what he says. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. First of all, he says, number one, you've come to me with knowledge that everybody knows. Number two, look at you. You guys are in full health and you despise me. You haven't brought yourself down to sympathy for my case. You haven't come toward me at all. And as we said a couple of weeks ago, this is the largest problem here between their communications. Had they come and sat for 7 days with Job and had some sympathy for him, But then even when they tell Job the truth after having had no sympathy for him, it's not heard. They have placed themselves as his adversary, and now he's hearing what they say as an adversary. So we've talked about that before. Let's move on. Job will also school them now. Just a minute. You have said that if I was righteous, then everything would be fine. However, don't we all know the tabernacle of robbers prosper? They that provoke God are secure, in whose hand God brings abundantly? It's not as you say. It's not only wicked men that are struck and only upright men that live prosperously. Very often, that is turned on its head. You should have given me the benefit of the doubt is the implied criticism here. Instead of thinking I was some wicked sinner, and then he'll say, ask the beasts and the fowls and the earth and the fish. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Even the fish know that I'm suffering because of God. We ought to know that. We ought to confess that. Please don't tell me that this is somehow my sin. And so now, doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? And so now, Job is going to speak about God. And this is a very important point. He's speaking about God, not to God. He won't begin speaking to God until later in this discourse. But he's speaking about God here, and he's saying to them, you know, God is trying your words. God is trying your words. You've come here self-satisfied. You've come here at ease against one who is suffering, but God is trying your words. And so listen to what he says. With the doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. And the ancient here, they have, remember Eliphaz has already said, we're old, in fact, much older than your father. He's using the term ancient here to speak of God. God is the one who's actually watching us and judging us. We're not beholden to the ancients. We're beholden to him, to God. So with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. I understand. We understand together. God has brought all of this to pass upon me. This is not the issue with us. This is not the point at issue. And so he'll talk about the greatest of men dying and losing all that they had, and the least of men being brought up out of darkness, right? He discovereth deep things out of the darkness. He bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth nations, destroyeth them, enlargeth nations, straighteneth them again. And so he's trying to help his friends understand, my case does not need to be a case thought of you that I have somehow grievously sinned. The Lord works in these ways all over the world on all different kinds of people for his own purposes. What you ought to be asking me about, what we ought to be asking God about, is why the Lord has wrought this and what the good in it is that we may prosper. So far, they're not there, are they? Job is not yet there, and the three friends certainly are not there. All right, so then he'll go on in chapter 13 to continue speaking about God, and then he will turn it back on his interlocutors. He'll begin addressing God now in verse 19 of chapter 13, and then he will continue that address toward the Lord all the way through chapter 14 as well. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing.